there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
And welcome to the Lombardi Line, presented by MGM. Dave Ross here with you from South Point Casino in Las Vegas. We've got a great show on tap today. We're going to have Will Hill join us in hour number one. We're going to have Thomas Gable from the Borgata Racing Sportsbook in hour number two. And Wes Reynolds, my partner normally on these days. But today, I get Josh Applebaum. Yeah, Josh, happy Mother's Day to you and yours out there, America. And Josh, I know you're back there in Boston. So mom is not exactly in the same city as you. So is it? Have you already done the Mother's Day call, or do you wait till after the show?
So, Dave, it's great to be with you and great to be in front of our Nesson audience once again here. So, yeah, Dave, make sure, to everyone out there, make sure you call your mother. I actually haven't called mine yet, but I texted her and I said, hey, turn on Nesson. Your boy is going to be filling in for Michael Lombardi. We hope Michael Lombardi is feeling better here. But, yeah, Dave, make sure you make that call today. It's a big day for the Bruins playoff game. Ooh. We got NBA, NHL. We got a big Major League Baseball slate. But overall, how about our guy Rich Strike, 80-1 coming in bigly here? Unbelievable yesterday, Dave.
Absolutely incredible. And, yes, I'm going to call mom after the show as well back home in Virginia Beach as I'm out here in Las Vegas. But, again, happy Mother's Day to everybody out there. But, Josh, let's start right there. Because it was a smorgasbord of sports yesterday that potentially you could have made some serious cashish on, and Rich Strike would have been number one with a bullet yesterday. 80-1 is what he closed at. It was much higher out here at some books in Las Vegas, north of 100 to 200 to 1. And Josh, again, you know, it was great having our insight from our VSiN guys at Churchill Downs yesterday at the Kentucky Derby. It felt like Rich Strike was never a part of the conversation until he was the entire conversation down the stretch. An incredible ride that we saw coming from the inside there. Again, as somebody that never plays the longest favorite on the board, I always feel like with the 20-horse race, you've got the opportunity for something like this to happen. But I got to be honest. I mean, Josh, there was just no way you could see this coming, could you?
You really couldn't. I mean, again, this was an unbelievable flyer, 80-1. To talk about a good Mother's Day, if you cash that, you better buy mom a gift today after that one yesterday. But Dave, to me, it's a conversation about, you know, the Kentucky Derby just in general. Obviously, yeah. It's a big public betting event. You know, we think of public betting events like the Super Bowl or March Madness or bowl games or kind of any kind of playoff game. But this is kind of the one thing every year where you sometimes bet some long shots and they never come through for you. And people are just saying, hey, it's almost like that parlay mentality of let me just put $10, have a little fun, see if I can cash big. Well, that almost never happens. But then yet again, yesterday it did happen. So I think it just goes to show you, you know, sports, when you're betting on sports, it could be horse racing. It could be any other thing. Don't get me going with my Patriots in 2007. Mm-hmm. You know, Dave, when they were against the Giants and they were, you know, 12, 13 point favorite in that game. I think I'm wondering what the odds makers are thinking today, because they got to be happy. I don't know who bet the 80-1, but you get a lot of chalk when you bet a lot of these, you know, Kentucky Derbies, Preakness, Belmont. So the fact that you had a long shot and these favorites didn't win, that was the big surprise to me. It wasn't that it was an 80-1. It's that, you know, your top 2-3, which typically seem to win these ones over at least the last, you know, 10 years or so, didn't come through. So again, if you missed it, just go on Twitter, Google it. That unbelievable last, Dave, what, 30 seconds where, you know, first strike's going right back, you know, around everyone. It was incredible. So just an unbelievable 80-1 cash for anyone who took that long shot bet.
And we saw here out in Las Vegas at Circa a small loss for the book yesterday with that because, yes, to your point, they did take in some tickets as high as 150, 200 to 1. So, yes, the long shot, the extreme long shot comes in, which was highly unexpected to your point, Josh, because, again, it just feels like that was going to be chalky yesterday, and it was anything but at the end of the day at the Kentucky Derby. Of course, UFC last night out in Arizona, absolutely wild main event. Charles Oliveira, he gets the stoppage of Justin Gaethje in round number one, but he is no longer the lightweight champion because he had missed weight on Friday. So now Charles Oliveira, DuBronx, who is, by the way, just far and away the best 155-pounder in the world right now, after getting knocked down twice by Justin Gaethje, he comes back from that in the very same round to get that stoppage. He will be the number one contender for the belt he had to give up to the scale. So very bizarre scenario there. And then, Josh, in the co-main event, we saw Rose Namajunas in just a stunning lack of excitement fight in a five-round snoozer against Carla Esparza, lose her title to Carla Esparza in a split decision. And that one is not going to sit well with Rose. It did not sit well with the fan base last night. So a very interesting night last night in the two title fights. But really, I think what stunned the world yesterday was Michael Chandler with the front kick heard around the world as he knocked out Tony Ferguson in the second round after a very good first round for El Kukui. And there it is, the front kick comes from Michael Chandler, and he gets the stoppage and then immediately calls out not only DuBronx for a rematch at 155 pounds, but also called out Conor McGregor at 170 pounds. And Conor reacted on Twitter. So let's see if this is enough to get the notorious one back, whether it's against Michael Chandler at 170 or if Michael Chandler gets a rematch against DuBronx for that 155-pound strap. An absolutely wild night there. And then the big shocker out here in Las Vegas, Josh, was Canelo Alvarez gets thoroughly destroyed, if you will, in 12 rounds by Dimitri Bivol. Now, on the scorecards, it looked more competitive, 115 to 113 on all three judges. Give it to Bivol, who is still undefeated now and holds on to his crown as Canelo tries to go back up to 172 pounds and get that title. And he comes up short. Again, I was watching all of the UFC, Josh, so I didn't get to see the boxing. But if you read it on Twitter and you follow it on social media, it was not as close as the judges made that fight. But nonetheless, Canelo does not get the hometown decision. And kudos to Canelo, because I saw his post-fight interview. And Josh, basically, he said, no excuses. I got beat. The better guy won. And so I want a rematch, and it looks like that's going to happen. But another good night for the books there, because that was a big underdog north of $5 here that we saw for Bivol here. Canelo, a big favorite, and that ticket does not cash if you had Saul Canelo Alvarez last night.
Yeah, that was a big surprise there, Dave, because looking at some of the stats we got from BetMGM, really lopsided toward Canelo Alvarez. And he was getting, you know, 65% of bets, almost 90% of the handle. So as you mentioned, you know, anytime you get some of these dogs that are contrarian to come through, that's really the best, you know, best dream or, you know, best outcome here for the sports books. And really with Alvarez too, you know, he opened like minus 400, got steamed all the way to minus 500. Didn't matter with the dog coming through. Just a quick comment on a couple of those UFC bouts, Dave. You know, I had action on a couple of those. So, you know, split 1-1. Namajunas let me down a little bit. Yes. Obviously, you know, what I saw and what I like and what I look at, Dave, is, you know, I look at a very rudimentary model betting UFC. I'm looking for kind of a situation where you have both the physical attributes in your favor and you have some line movement. So Namajunas, you know, she opened minus 190, got bet up to around minus 210. She had that line movement in her favor, telling you some respected money was laying it with Namajunas. But then also, you know, she had a lot of physical advantages, 29 years old against 34 for her opponent, 5'4 against 5'1, 65 inch reach for 63. So to me, that was the disappointing one because, you know, when I'm looking for a fighter, I'm looking for a younger, taller, longer reach and a line movement in their favor. Didn't come through here. Namajunas let, I think, a lot of bettors down last night. Although, you know, Dave, you also said, you know, what a snooze fest it was. How about the over 4.5, which was juiced up? Oof. Maybe that was the way to go on that one. But I think the biggest, you know, takeaway from yesterday was, kind of a something you can use as a teachable moment moving forward, because the big conversation, and Dave, you know, we had talked, you know, the last few days, missing weight and yes. what that means for a fighter. And our colleague Gamble and Lou at VSiN does a great job looking at, you know, weigh-ins and paying attention. I think a lot of people ignore this stuff, but you had a line move that actually dropped toward Gaethje. I mean, if you're looking at kind of what happened there, a lot of, you know, signs were pointing toward what you're going to see with a win there with Oliveira. But then when he misses weight, that line dropped like minus 170 down to like minus 130, minus 140. Obviously, you can look at it one of two ways. If you miss weight, typically that's not a good sign. Maybe you're not dialed in. Maybe you have an injury. But also, Dave, what if it got him really upset? Like, you're going to take the belt away from me for a half ounce. There was, you know, kind of, conspiracies that the scale was wrong, stuff like that. So what did you think about that? You know, in your history of being a UFC expert, Dave, is that surprising that someone misses weight and still wins?
Yes.
I feel like it kind of is.
It is, and also in the title fight. You just don't see guys get stripped of the crown like that on the scale, literally. And to your point, Josh, and I was on Rose and on Gaethje last night. Gaethje more so after the missed weight by Charles Oliveira for that very reason that you mentioned. And normally, traditionally, you only have to go back 1 week before where Rob Font missed weight against Chito Vera, and it did affect him, and it affected my handicap as well, and led me down the road to Vera, which was profitable the week before. Did not finish here. I was most disappointed, and to your point about Rose, because I thought you're right on. Every handicap said that was the right side to be on. Trevor Whitman is an excellent, if not one of the best MMA coaches out there. Trevor Whitman was in the corner of Rose Namajunas last night, and also Justin Gaethje. And I did not think the corner put their best foot forward with Rose last night. If you listened in between rounds, I was astounded by, you're doing great. She can't touch you. Basically, you got this fight in the bag. And I don't know how that can be possible when there was really no output. So again, as somebody who had Rose last night, I thought you could literally have flipped a coin to decide who won that fight. And that's not the way you want title fights to be decided. And I thought the coaching in the corner there let Rose down a little bit, kind of this false narrative that we've got this fight already in the bag when there was really no action in the first three rounds of a five-round title fight. To Justin Gaethje's side, I thought he'd be a little bit more patient because of the weight cut missed by Charles Oliveira. Take him deeper into the Arizona night, and he didn't do that, and he rushed out. And when you have a guy that cardio could be an issue because of a bad weight cut, normally you want to extend those fights. And so to me, I thought it was really some bad cornering that might have let us down last night, certainly let me down on my sides of Rose Namajunas and on Justin Gaethje. But kudos to Charles Oliveira for a guy who did miss weight, had a bad weight cut. It was clear that he could not make that weight, that's why you lose the belt. And then to get knocked down twice in the first round and come back and get the stoppage in the very same round, rather astounding by Charles Oliveira. So whether or not he's got the strap or not, people look at those fights and go, that's the best 155-pounder in the world, and it's really not debatable. Much more with Josh when we come back, and also going to take a look ahead to the NBA slate when you come back with us right here in the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The VEASAN Spring Special is here. For only $59, you get everything VEASAN has to offer from now to the end of July. The next few months are going to be filled with the best betting content in the biz right here at VEASAN.com. And subscribers are going to have access to all of it, including Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets. Jonathan Von Tobel is going to have his best bets all the way through the NBA Finals. And Andy McNeil is going to break down all the action on the ice all the way through the Stanley Cup playoffs. Going to have lots of NFL preseason coverage as well, not to mention continued best bets and premium articles covering golf, UFC, USFL, NASCAR. And yes, we just had the Kentucky Derby betting guide, and what a derby it was. If you want the full VEASAN experience, which features a daily best bets email, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want it, the cost is only $59 to be a subscriber through July 31st. So sign up now at VEASAN.com/spring. Back alongside Josh Applebaum, I am Dave Ross. This is the Lombardi Line right here on VEASAN. And Josh, you are there in the great state of Massachusetts. And so before we look at today's card here in the NBA, I do have to get your thoughts on Boston yesterday against Milwaukee, because depending on where that number closed, of course it lands on 2, but the C's can't come up with the outright win in what was just a great game back and forth. But again, it felt like a missed opportunity for Boston late.
I think it really was. And again, you had this big extra layoff here, Marcus Smart, who was banged up, but gave him more time to get ready. Another thing, if you listen in Boston to our NESN audience, is Jaylen Brown. I think that hamstring is really iffy right now. That's another thing to be concerned about, but everything was really lining up for the Celtics. And from a betting perspective, I think first, so if you're a Celtics fan, obviously you're disappointed you lose yesterday. From a betting perspective, Celtics came through depending on when you bet them, Dave. Mm-hmm. So something that I always look for is reverse line movement. When you have heavy betting on one side, yet the line goes the other way. Think of it as a fishy move that doesn't make sense. So for this one here, you know, at BetMGM, DraftKings, a lot of these major sports books, you had about 2/3 of bets on the Milwaukee Bucks. Defending champs at home, bounce back spot. You know, some bettors still subscribe to that zigzag theory. You know, you win one, you lose one, you go back and forth. But really what we saw from a betting angle, Dave, was, you know, the Bucks opened this game around -2.5. They got bet up all the way to 3 early. But this is the importance of tracking line movement, not just, you know, open to close, but all the moves in between, because they got up to -3 and there's such a long layoff between, you know, games 2 and game 3. But you saw in the last 24 hours or so, a lot of buyback on Boston. So that +3 got hit, bringing it down to +2.5. A lot of those 2.5s, you know, got down to 2. So it either closed 2.5 or 2, you know, depending on what book you got it at. But this is why if you're betting on sports, no matter what sport you're betting, you know, it could be the futures market, props, regular games, you got to shop around. Don't just bet through one sports book, because if you like Boston, you could have gotten a +2.5. And why is that important? Dave, because they lose by 2 there. So the hook wins you that bet. You know, I was hoping Al Horford there with the tip in. Maybe if it was, you know, 5 years ago, Al Horford would get that thing in, even though he's played great, right. All jokes aside. But tough loss for the Celts, but from a betting angle, when you start to see heavy betting on the Bucks or in any of these situations, heavy betting team A, yet that 3 gets down to 2.5 and then 2, tells you respected money was on the Celts. They're only getting about a quarter, you know, around a third of bets. But again, it's not just who you like, it's when you bet the team and what number you got. If you got a 2.5 or 3, you cash that bet. You get a 2, you push.
Yeah, and again, and I was on the under, so sweat that out for no overtime, as it does stay under the total there with 103-101 at 204 under 211 total. By the way, for tomorrow right now, Milwaukee, a 1-point favorite we're seeing right now. 211.5 is the total in game 4, very important game 4 in Milwaukee tomorrow. But let's get to today's action too, Josh, in the NBA. And looking at Phoenix and Dallas now, and again, Phoenix with those just great closeouts, certainly in game 2 back home in Phoenix, and then game 3, a much different story in Dallas as the Mavs easily cover the number there. Now they're getting to today at home. 215 is the total we have here at BetMGM. Josh, how do you look at this matchup after what you've seen so far in this series with the Suns holding on to that 2 games to 1 advantage?
Yeah, so I think going into it, just from a, you know, a series price situation, Dave, Phoenix up 2-1. Obviously, you had Dallas claw back in their last game, but Phoenix is now a minus 500 favorite to win this series. Dallas plus 375. So if you think the Mavs on a short number can get it done today, maybe this thing goes deep. You know, plus 375 Dallas, maybe that's a buy low opportunity here. Also, like maybe Dallas, you know, on the series price on the spread, like plus 1.5 games, if you think this is going to be a long series here. But what jumps out to me, Dave, you know, is this line move toward the Phoenix Suns today. Mm-hmm. The Suns, after, you know, coming back from a loss, they're not quite, you know, the Tampa Bay Lightning. If you follow that system in the playoffs, the Lightning off a loss, or like they win every single time, you know, since they've become a really good team last few years. But Suns 6-4 after a loss, their last two playoff runs here. What I like is this line movement to Phoenix. They actually open a lot of these shops, Mavericks laying a point or a point and a half at home. We've seen it now flip to Phoenix -2. So the only thing that worries me about the Suns, I love the line movement in their favor. This would match a dog to fave line move system for me. I'm only a little bit concerned that Phoenix is really, really popular today. They're getting, you know, at BetMGM, if you look at the data that we've gotten, 78% of bets, but 84% of money. So in one hand, you have a little bit low bets, higher dollars. I always want a bigger handle count than a ticket count. Tells me some respected money in their favor. But I'm going to go with Phoenix here, Dave. They're coming off a loss. They're a veteran team, you know, coming off a loss, which I like in a bounce back way. But also chalk. You know, it's been so great for betting favorites in the NBA this playoffs. Favorites are now 37-24 against the spread, 61%. If you see a favorite with a line move in their favor, like you're seeing with Phoenix going from, you know, getting a point or a point and a half to now a 2-point favorite, those favorites with a line move are 22-9.
Wow.
ATS 71%. And here's another one, Dave. You know, this doesn't apply to all these, you know, it applies to all the favorites, but if you're -10, -8, you're not going to bet the money line, but favorites just winning the game straight up, they're 46-15, 75% this year. So I'm a little wary of this, you know, maybe contrarian inflated line value with the Mavs, but I'm going to go with this line move. I don't think it's just public. I think it's a little sharp. And with chalk doing so well this playoffs, I'm going to go money line on Phoenix. I don't want to mess around with a 1-point win or, you know, not cover or push. I'll go money line on the Suns today.
Yeah, it feels like a smart play there. And again, when you look at the box score from game three, what stood out to me is Luka Doncic wasn't the leading scorer. He had 26 points in that win. It was Jalen Brunson with 28, and you had three other guys in double figures. So after game one and two, where Doncic was amazing on the road north of 40, but yet they couldn't get those wins. So maybe when the Mavericks are more balanced, they're better off that way, which would be interesting to see the way the Suns might defend them a little bit differently here. Maybe you let Luka get his, and then the rest don't. That seems to be a better recipe for Phoenix going forward here in this pivotal game four today. I did not know what to make of game three in Philadelphia in the city of brotherly shove. And then we saw, you know, all of a sudden, this incredible line move going on throughout the day, because we got these mixed reports of whether or not Joel Embiid was going to play or not. And he was still listed as out, which was bizarre. Of course, he ends up playing in game three, a huge performance to come back, and Philadelphia gets a much-needed win and pumps some life back into their series hopes against the Miami Heat. Now, they're laying two with Joel Embiid after what he did in that game three, and they were calling him Phantom of the Process is what I saw there with that mask that he was wearing, Josh. I thought it was a great moniker. What do you make of game four now? Is this too good to be true, or does the number one seed of Miami Heat say, all right, you had your moment, now it's back to reality?
So I think from a series price, this series is very similar to that Mavs series we just talked about. Remember, you had Miami basically in that Phoenix role, race out to a 2-0 lead. And then I got to tip my cap to the Sixers. That one really surprised me. I didn't see them with Embiid coming back, you know, playing so well and winning by 20 points, Dave, 99-79. That was a bit of a surprise here. So if you're looking at the series price, Miami up 2-1. They're now minus 375, Philly plus 280. But for today in particular, Dave, I look at maybe backing the 76ers once again. You know, it's not that lopsided of a bet. Public is relatively split. You know, they love getting Miami at a plus two here, but also wary of the Sixers and kind of that, you know, unspoken factor of, you know, your star player coming back, like your Willis Reed or your Paul Pierce, you know, coming out on the wheelchair, Dave. Like, I think there's an angle that maybe the betting market, you know, I don't know if you can quantify it, but seeing your best player, you know, coming back from, you know, a broken bone in his face and lead you to victory,
yeah,
that's got to give them a little bit of confidence here. Now you're still at home. But in terms of just, you know, throw that all aside, what is the betting market telling us? Where is the line going? A lot of these books open Sixers laying 1.5 at home, very short number, pretty much split down the middle. Yeah, we're seeing a lot of these Sixers lines up to -2. So that would match that favorite system match, that favorite with a line move as well. I'd lean Philly here, getting back in the series. And to your point, doesn't it kind of look fishy or too good to be true? You're getting Miami, this really good team who, you know, does great getting points. They're getting two. How do you not grab that? Yet we didn't see this line fall, you know, 1.5 down to a pick. It's going 1.5 up to Philadelphia. So the same thing. I'll go money line Philadelphia and keep an eye on the total here. You know, it's pretty low. It's 207.5, Dave. Very low number here. We're getting 56% of bets, but 85% of money on the under. So maybe we get another low scoring game. I think that might benefit the Sixers tonight.
Because Miami right now, outside of Tyler Hero, they really don't knock down a whole lot of threes here. So you got to get those points the hard way sometimes with Miami. And Philadelphia, let's be honest, until Joel Embiid came back, it was pulling teeth for them to score in the first two games of the series down in Miami. So I can understand why that total was so low at 207. And again, just one other observation. With Joel Embiid back, it's almost like it frees up James Harden to just be James Harden again and kind of, if you can believe this, fly below the radar. It's almost like he doesn't like that spotlight of being the number one guy right now for whatever reason. It worked out well in game three. And again, all the focus will be back on the Phantom of the Process and Joel Embiid and that mask back in there in game four today. So that'll be a very interesting and potentially a game that could tie up this series at two games apiece. All right, going to come back, talk more NBA and also NHL because, Josh, you mentioned it up there in Boston. A big game coming today for the Boston Bruins. Come on back. It's the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Wants you to get in on all the horse racing action. Sign up today with the promo code VEGAS1000 and receive $10 instantly and up to a $1,000 bonus. Visit VEASAN.com/horses for details. Use the bonus code VEGAS1000. Dave Ross back alongside Josh Applebaum. This is the Lombardi Line right here on VEASAN. And Josh, I still can't believe what we saw. I don't believe what I just saw from Rich Strike yesterday, at the Kentucky Derby. Again, we were just talking about it during the break. I don't know exactly how you can measure the heart of a horse race, in a race where you just feel like he doesn't have the pedigree of these other horses that we saw out there. And again, it was just an incredible run. And again, you got to go to Vegas 1000, use that code to get in on the horse racing action. But Josh, I wonder if people are now going to go, you know what? I'm always going to take a shot in that long shot after what I saw yesterday at the Kentucky Derby.
So, you know, what's ironic is, you know, my aunt, Chris, you know, she's a little bit of a horse better. She likes to go, you know, watch the ponies and get a little action down. But every year she'll always text me, who do you like? And she always takes the long shot. So a lot of these times they never come through for you. And I think to your point, does this maybe, you know, entice people to just say, hey, I'm really not, maybe if I don't, here's the thing. If you sweat horses all year long, like you're our buddy, Patrick Maher, or, right, you know, our whole crew, or like Dave yourself, you like betting the ponies. You have your model, you have your blueprint. You're looking at one thing I learned when I go to Saratoga with some of my buddies every summer is get the book when you first walk in. It's $5-$10. It's this little magazine. It gives you all the races, all the horses. Really what I learned is look at the bloodlines. Who was their father? Who was their mother? Were they a mutter or were they not a mutter here? That's the other thing, Dave. But you got to know the jockey, all these little things, especially the morning line, comparing the morning line to the current line. How are the numbers moving? You have all that on one side. But on the other hand, if you just want to have some fun, maybe you do put $10 on the long shot here. It comes through big for yesterday. And I know we're going to move on here, Dave. I just want to throw one thing at you just to finish our conversation on the Heat and the 76ers.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out for the most notorious ref in the NBA today, or all of the NBA, Scott Foster. Oh. This is a Scott Foster game. Scott Foster is notorious. So here's the thing. The angle would be, you know, is the NBA sending in Scott Foster to extend this series and make it 2-2? I don't prescribe to that, really. But if you look at his numbers historically, Scott Foster is skewed, the most skewed ref, almost like, you know, Joe West in Major League Baseball. But he's really skewed toward road teams. Home teams only cover like 46% of the time with Scott Foster. He's also skewed pretty good to the over. He's pretty good, you know, calling fouls, and he's about 54% to the over. So I know that kind of goes against the Sixers. It kind of goes against maybe that line freeze on the under, but just be mindful. If you're a bettor, you always want to know when Scott Foster's reffing. Scott Foster's got the Miami Heat and Philadelphia 76ers game tonight.
Critical information. By the way, you said screwed. Sometimes people think they get screwed when Scott Foster is calling those games. That's for sure, Josh. And to put a finishing touch, as you mentioned Saratoga, and again, on this Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there in America. You know, my parents owned a horse when I was very small that we raced at Saratoga. Now, this was in the harness. This wasn't like the style of racing we saw yesterday. And again, I was very, very young at the time, but Dale Almerhurst was our horse's name, and my mother texted me yesterday, did you have Rich Strike yesterday? I said, Mom, I would only bet on our horse, and our horse never cashed, and Rich Strike did cash yesterday at 80-1. So again, if you like to play those long shots, it certainly came through for you yesterday. You mentioned, and I'm glad you went back to the NBA, because Josh, I just wanted some serious thoughts overall, because actually you and I talked last summer, I'll never forget it here, when I was coming out to VEASAN last summer, we were doing the Bucks and the Suns in the finals. And if you remember, Milwaukee was down 0-2. And I thought, boy, you know, you're just holding serve here because nobody had won on the road here. Do you still subscribe to that theory? And we've seen this play out a la in this Philadelphia series, that down 0-2, even though you didn't know about Joel Embiid at that point, now with Joel Embiid in the fold and it is 2-1, do you look at those series prices, Josh, and say, look, really, we're just holding serve here until somebody wins in a home court. Is there still value, even though a team might lose the first two on the road?
I think there is. You know, you have that desperation angle. You see in the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoff saves. It's just so different when you go from home to road. So I think the big thing here is Embiid. If Embiid was still injured and he couldn't play, then I would say it's probably good night, you know, 76ers pretty quickly here. But bring Embiid back, you know, the kind of the boost that he provides for his team. And what you made a really astute comment, Dave, about James Harden, because James Harden, he's been looking to me from the eye test, like kind of old and slow and right, going through the motions. And is he still that guy, you know, who averaged, you know, over 30 points a game with Houston? I don't know about that. So I don't know if he can be, you know, single-handedly lead this team. You bring back Embiid, now everyone kind of, you know, goes in their right slot and you don't have to rely so much here on Harden. So I think that's a big advantage here. And to your point, you know, really a series, as the old adage says, as you mentioned, starts when, you know, a home team loses, and we haven't really seen that yet. So to me, looking at, you know, Philadelphia here, plus 280 on the series price, that could be appealing. I still think Miami Heat are the better team and should probably win this series. You know, if you look at kind of these odds right now to win the East, the Heat are the favorite, plus 160. You have the Bucks plus 175. The Celtics could be worth a buy low look just on this topic of series prices and buying low here, Dave. They're plus 270. And if you look at their next game coming up tomorrow, it's actually dropping a little bit. Some of these books open Bucks minus 1.5, minus 2. It's down to 1. So I'd like the Celtics to maybe get back in that. I think when you're betting series prices, I look at it one of two ways, Dave. If you find value at the beginning of the series, and what I do is I look at the BetMGM and the DraftKings numbers, like series price. Let's say, for example, a great one was the Celtics against the Nets in round one. You had about 75% of bets on the Nets on the series price, but the line moved to the Celtics. So that was a series bet for me on the Celtics. If you find something like that, a low bets, higher dollars, you know, sharp contrarian line move, I'll play it. If not, I think you look for a value standpoint of maybe a team that's down. You feel like you're getting a better number, almost like live lining, you know, a favorite that's, you know, a 10-point favorite entering the game, but they get off to a, you know, they're down 10-2 to start the game. To me, you're looking for value plays. And to me, I think the Celtics and Philly would be the value plays in the series price right now.
Yeah, very good advice there. Let's switch that conversation, but keep that same track in mind here with the Boston Bruins. Because again, down 0-2 against Carolina, they come back to Boston and they win game three. And you were on that and had a great call on that on VEASAN. Does that hold form here in game four? Because now you're looking at this one right now, small favorite for the Bees here, up to $1.30. And again, if you want to go the puck line, you can get plus money there if you think the Bees can win by two or more at plus $1.95. What do you make of the Bees in the same type of spot that we're talking about, where really a series hasn't started until you win on somebody else's home ice?
So I think that's one thing I've definitely prescribed to, you know, betting the NHL playoffs. To me, the NHL playoffs, the way it's different from the regular season is you have a ton of favorites doing very well. Chalk had an incredible year. If you bet favorites in the NHL, they're like 65%. I think you made like 40 units. It was an incredible year where favorites did so well. You get to the postseason, it's not quite the same. I tend to lean a little bit more on some dogs. You know, you see dogs in particular kind of in a desperation spot, like off a loss coming back. And here's the other thing, Dave, you know, let's say you have four games today. You've seen this a lot throughout the NHL playoffs. You take all four dogs, you go 2-2. Because of the plus money, you're actually making some money off of that. So that's something I'd look for. Now, truth be told, I'm a diehard Boston Bruins fan. I cannot wait. to watch the Bruins here. You know, it's an early game. I kind of wish it was later, but 12:30, that's kind of cool too. But I would be a little wary because the line is dropping to Carolina in this one. You actually open the Bruins around minus 130. I'm seeing them drop to around minus 125 at some shops. And you are seeing some of these desperation spots, teams off a loss, system matches on Carolina here. So if you look at just teams coming off a loss this NHL playoffs, they're 10-6, 62%. You have almost a 25% return on investment. So the fact that it's dipping a little bit to Carolina tells me you're getting in some Carolina respected money here, Dave. But, man, as a Bruins fan, this is tough for me. I'm hoping the Bees can tie this thing up.
Josh, the thing I just can't get away from so far at the beginning of the NHL playoffs, because I was one of those people that believed when the playoffs started, we would get dump and chase, we would get defensive hockey and these really tight, you know, potential one-goal games. That is just not the case. Scoring is way up. It was way up in the regular season, and that's transferred over into this postseason here, Josh. Does this trend continue? Like, kind of market wide, because I just didn't see this coming with this just influx of playoff scoring.
So I didn't see it either, Dave. And I think if you bet hockey and you watch playoff hockey, like, you're used to these like 1-0 games, yes. 2-1, you know, 2-0. You always think, like, you know, there's so much on the line that are you going to really, you know, try to pinch in, or, you know, maybe have a turnover here. You're going to play a little more conservative because you don't want to, you know, give up a bad goal. But to your point, this has been really, really surprising in the NHL playoffs. I just dialed it up because I'm like, yeah, I feel like a lot of these overs are cashing, Dave. Well, guess what? Overs in the NHL playoffs, 15-9. That's pretty good so far. And again, you don't really typically see that. To me, I would look out for like the difference between a 6 and a 5.5. So, for example, like this Carolina-Boston game, you know, you're going back and forth. A lot of these were opening at 5.5. Always pay attention to the juice. Like, this thing is juiced up over minus 130. So that's telling you there's some liability over. They may get adjusted to 6. But if you're playing these totals, these hooks are important. Like, for example, if you like the under in this game, you wait and try to find a 6. If you like the over, and overs have been crushing it here, Dave, I lean a little bit over 5.5 with this juice. You know, you want to get that hook so that, you know, a 4-2 game, you land on 6, you cash that bet. So overs have been surprising here. But also remember, you know, in the NBA, we had a really great start to unders. Unders have also, you know, continued to do well. But anytime one thing does very, very well, sometimes these numbers get shaded a little bit. So if the odds makers, you know, if people pick up on this NHL trend and say, hey, overs 15-9, let me bet all these overs, maybe a 5.5, they'll open a 6. Maybe you'll be betting into bad numbers if these overs keep cashing.
Yeah, boy, do I feel old, because back in the old days, you could get 4.5s, 5s in playoff hockey. Those days are gone. All right, Josh, when we come back, going to be joined by the King of New York, Will Hill, next, right here in the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do Discover BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Sign up today and win $200 if you place a $10 wager on any NBA playoff game and either team simply hits a three-pointer regardless of your bet's outcome. Simply use the bonus code VSiN200 when you place your first wager to take advantage of this offer. Enjoy the playoffs more than ever with BetMGM. Eligibility restrictions do apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or set credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi or Nevada. I am Dave Ross. This is the Lombardi Line. I am here in fabulous Las Vegas, joined today by Josh Applebaum. He is in Boston. And then when you bring in the king of New York, Will Hill. First of all, can you guys be civil, like with this whole New York-Boston thing for the remainder of this segment? Will, is that possible?
Well, I look at the AOE standings. It's perfectly reasonable for me to be civil. I mean, I have nothing
low
to
blow, sure. Low blow, low blow.
What a way to start off the show. I love it, Will. Again, you got to follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill, of course, one of our VSiN contributors and Point Spread Weekly editors. Will, let's get right to it here because, again, we had a wild sports day yesterday, and we're looking for more of the same today. And certainly that does possibly prescribe here in the NBA with Philadelphia because, again, you know, whatever you want to call them, phantom of the process. We talked about this in length the other day where it was bizarre. We saw the line move all over the place before game three. He's out, but yet somehow he's not out. Then he's not even doubtful, but then he plays. It was a bizarre situation here. What do you make of game four now? Now that we know that Joel Embiid is, in fact, back and what a difference he made in game three, how do you handicap game four and going forward?
Yeah, for all the controversy about whether Embiid would play or not, I'm glad he did because this series was so boring without him, and I thought it was shaping up to be really a classic if he was able to play. I think Philly's got some major advantages in this matchup. They can control the glass. Miami, one of their weaknesses is they foul a lot, and we know Philly, their ability to get to the line with Embiid and Harden. And Miami really doesn't have a lot of shooting. You know, Duncan Robinson making $90 million has played his way out of the lineup. Hero is really their only shooter. I mean, that's not Butler's game. He's more of a mid-range guy, get to the foul line. Adebayo, that's not his game. So I think there's some advantages here for Philly. You know, Philly won the game by 20 on Friday night, and Embiid didn't even play very well. I think the home crowd, having another game with Embiid, has the mask, you know, under his belt here for a game. He's probably more comfortable in this game four. I like Philly. I think this thing is possibly headed seven. I would not count Philly out from winning this series.
Will, it's great to see you, and I hope you're taking care of the old lady there today on Mother's Day. You better be doing something nice for her. But I would say, you know, I want to ask you about the total in this one, so I'm kind of with you. We were texting earlier, and Dave and I were talking. I kind of like this line movement toward Philly, you know, -1.5 up to -2. I moneyline Philly, so I'm rooting them with you. But how about the total in this one, Will? It opened at a really low, like 207.5, 207-ish. You know, you're seeing some of the 207 in the hook fall to 207, and I think the angle here is, you know, it's such a low total, you got to take the over, right? But we've seen a lot of money hit the under. You look at BetMGM, 56% of bets, but 85% of money is on the under. You know, unders have been fantastic so far this playoffs. They're cashing almost 2/3 of the time. Do you expect another low scoring game here? Would this be a, you know, even though it feels fishy and it feels too low, will we get another, you know, lower scoring game, you know, 100-92 type game?
Yeah, I don't have a bet on it, but boy, going based off Friday, again, it's tricky to go off just one game, but that was an ugly, ugly game Friday. I think 99-79 was the final. There were some stretches there where both teams couldn't throw it in the ocean, and yep, neither team's a great three-point shooting team. Philly, even when they went small without Embiid, couldn't really make a three, you know, 6-for-34, I think, in game one. Really just some bad shooting numbers. In Miami, they struggle to shoot the three, so especially as the series goes on, you raise the intensity. You know, game four is a huge game. All these games, you know, as you go on and on in a series, get bigger and bigger. So we'll probably lean towards the under, if anything.
You know, it's a great point you made too, Will, about Duncan Robinson. What's happened to him? I mean, they need him. They need that three-point shooting. And you're right. They just, outside of Tyler Hero, they don't shoot it very well from distance at all. So that could be a trend that's going in the wrong direction here for the Miami Heat before they have game four today. Right now, again, Philadelphia, two-point favorites, 207.5 is what we're seeing, 207s out there in the marketplace. Let's talk about Phoenix and Dallas very quickly here, Will. Get your thoughts on that. Because, again, Phoenix right now, as Josh and I discussed earlier, this line move has gone in their favor. So Dallas right now getting 2 at home. And I mentioned here, Jalen Brunson was the leading scorer for Dallas in their game 3 win. Is that the model of success for Dallas, that it doesn't have to be 40 plus from Luka, but rather get everybody else involved?
It may be just because, boy, they asked Luka to do so much on offense. I really think it takes away from his defense, where you saw the end of, I think it was game two, where they were just attacking him every single play. And Luka was visibly just exhausted. Mm-hmm. He couldn't even get into a defensive stance. And they were just attacking him play after play, just relentlessly. And look, he's a great scorer. He's, you know, just an incredible generational talent offensively. He's got to get better on defense if this team has any hope of winning anything. I just think the Suns are the more well-rounded team. You look at the game Friday night, Chris Paul had 6 turnovers in the first half. They had 17 as a team. This is a team that, you know, they're fundamentally sound. They don't foul. They don't take, you know, they don't turn the ball over. This was kind of an outlier game for Phoenix. I think, you know, look, when you're up 2-0, I think it's just human nature. You take the foot off the gas a little bit. I think they kind of put their stamp on the series today, go up 3-1 and probably finish this thing in 5. So I got the Suns here on the money line.
Well, I'm with you. I really like that move, just as Dave mentioned. The fact, and again, you get to this time of year, the betting market is so efficient. You know, these line moves are really, really meaningful. So the fact you open, you know, small favorite here, Mavs, it's now flipped to small favorite Suns. I'm going to go with that money and money line the Suns with you. But I got to get your take from an outsider perspective, a New York perspective, down in Connecticut. The Celtics series here, Will. What's your take on this series? Is there value here to buying low on the Celtics? I just dialed it up, down 2-1. They're plus 135 dogs on the series price. Giannis and the Bucks are minus 160. And you look at tomorrow's game, very, very short number. You know, we opened that last one. What was it, like 3-2? This one opens like 1.5. It's down to 1. Line's coming a little bit to Boston here. Any angle for tomorrow's game? Do you like the Celtics to maybe get back in this series? Or maybe some thoughts on the total for tomorrow?
Yeah, a couple things. I think yesterday is a perfect example of get the best of the number, because you should have won that no matter what. Like, Celtics opened plus 3, you could have had the Bucks on the money line. So that was one where the number, that 3-2, was significant, because it lands right on 2 with the free throws at the end. And I thought the Celtics got a rough whistle. That looked like a shooting foul. Smart was in the shooting motion. That should have been 3 free throws. That being said, I think whoever wins tomorrow probably wins the series. If the Bucks go up 3-1, you could probably put it in the bank for Milwaukee, although game 5 and game 7 would be in Boston still. Milwaukee with Giannis up 3-1 would be tough to beat. On the other hand, if Celtics are able to even it 2-2, they get 5-7 at home, they're probably in good shape. So I would make a pretty big bet that the winner of tomorrow's game wins the series. Now, that's not really telling you a lot, because like you said, it's a 1-point line tomorrow. I would lean towards Milwaukee. I just think it's so hard for both these teams to score. I'll probably bet the under again. I've been on the under in all these games. I just think it's so hard in the half court for these teams to score. And that's why we're seeing, you know, these teams get a chance to run, they're going every chance they can, because once these defenses get set in the half court, it's really hard. And, you know, when it's hard to score and these games become low scoring like they have been, when you, one team has Giannis, the other team doesn't. Like, I know Tatum's a great player, but Giannis is probably the best player on the planet right now. And to me, that's probably going to be the difference in the series. So I would still lean towards Milwaukee winning the series. Not sure I'm crazy about laying, what is it, $1.65, $1.70 with them, but I do think Milwaukee probably finds a way to win this series.
Got a couple more minutes to go here with Will Hill. Follow him on Twitter, @NotTheWillHill, and also has a great and does a great job with the New York City cast here on VSiN. Will, Josh, you guys are in the Northeast. Look, I'm out here in Las Vegas. I wake up, it's 90 degrees, it's beautiful every day. I am going to believe that it's conspiracy theory right now. I don't know if it's actually been raining on the East Coast, Will, but how many days do the Phillies need to have off after what the Metropolitans did to them with 7 runs in the 9th inning? Are they ever going to play baseball? Are they going to play today? Because I see that it's supposed to be Chris Bassett against Zach Eflin, but I just don't know anymore if the Phillies are just going to retire for the rest of the year.
Well, the way the weather's been going, it's been awful in the Northeast. It really has been. You might be getting some triple headers, because it feels like the Yankees or the Mets haven't played in a month here. Yankees haven't played since Wednesday. The Mets haven't played since Thursday. It's really crazy. I mean, usually, you know, you get one rain day. To have 2 in a row is kind of weird. Both New York teams playing double headers today. You get Scherzer, Gibson game 1, and then you get Bassett in game 2. I kind of like the Mets in both these games. I think they've got good pitching advantages in both of them. We know the Phillies' issues with their bullpen and all that. So, look, I'm riding the Mets here. Mets have been pretty profitable. So Mets, I think, start at 12:30 and then they play later in the afternoon. So I'm probably going to be on the Mets in both of these games.
So really, the Lucy isn't pulling the football back from the Metropolitans anytime soon? So far, so good?
It's like we're in the second week of May. It's 50 degrees, 40 degrees and rainy here every day. The weather's just been awful. Nobody can hit in baseball, which is an issue. Yeah, it's been really bad.
And very quickly, the Rangers, the wild game yesterday. They're down 4-1. They come back tied up, then they lose 7-4. What is the sky falling there for the Blue Shirts in New York City?
No, I think that's a classic series. I think we're headed for 7 in that one. That one's been pretty much, you know, game 1 could have gone either way. Game 1 was a brutal loss for the Rangers. They thought they had it won. They had a million chances, overtime, double overtime, triple overtime. They really should have been up 2-0. But I think we're probably headed for 7 in that one.
Josh, very quickly, better sports city, is it Boston or New York?
Oh, it's Boston. Are you kidding me? Not even close. I know the Yankees got all these championships, but when's the last time a New York team won a championship? It's been a while here. Boston, by far, it's Boston.
Teenagers running around New York City have no idea what it's like to win.
Fair. It's very fair. You guys.
There he is, everybody. Will Hill. Follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill. Always love having Will on the program. When we come back, Josh, let's talk a little Major League Baseball and see how the lineup looks today on a Mother's Day Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.